Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can do a little bit of recognition for this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. My prayer this morning, thank you, is that say to us this morning. Yeah. My prayer is that those who have ears to hear, they will understand what the Spirit is saying, and they will not miss the day of their visitation. I truly want to thank God for you all, our leaders, everyone in this house, for the past few days, labored so hard, so diligent, so excellent. I heard the pastor this morning as we were praying on the pastor's line. He came only once. He was so moved by the excellence of the ushers and the tent and everything going on. He literally announced it on the prayer line. Our community pastors. I said he was amazed by what he saw, the excellence of Mount Zion's setup. It was ushers to this, to that, everything. And he decided to sign up his church to come. Amen. We are allowing God to take this step by step. Amen. God has blessed us in this city. We could fill that tent up like this. Very easy to fill up. Just as we invite all the churches and pastors, because they don't do that. Build a foundation, and He gave us a few people to talk to. Let's say, stop at that, and then let's take it from there. He wants to do something that is not going to be humanly attributed. Yeah. Amen.
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 And I want to thank God for Brett hosted a men's fellowship yesterday. Mm-hmm. And Kay displayed all our cooking strengths. Some poor ladies on the men are not here because they ate too much. Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
We are family. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, I want the Lord put on my heart to talk to you about promises. Mm-hmm. Promises. The promises of God, not men. Promises. Let's open our Bibles first to the book of Luke, the last chapter, Luke 24. This was the last, as Jesus died and rose from the dead, and is about to leave physically the earth. There are people that have labored with him. People that have believed in him, trusted him, gave all, everything to follow him. He's about to leave and give them a promise. So let's read from verse 49. Say, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Everybody says promises.
Promises.
Says, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Well, here's a condition. But tarry ye in the city of what? Jerusalem until. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be what? Endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. They came to pass. While he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. They obeyed. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's read the next scripture. Let's open to the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Book of Acts chapter 1, again, Luke was writing in details exactly how this happened. So we're just going to go to Acts chapter 1. Let us read from verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O chiefs, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he had, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he has what? Chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but what? Wait. Everybody say, wait.
Wait.
Wait for the what?
Promise.
To wait for the promise of God. We say to you, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the hour has put, which the Father has put in his own power. That's the time. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses unto both unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and then unto the uttermost part of the world. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, by the Spirit. And give us understanding that we might apply that which we hear and understand to obedience. That we will not miss the day of our visitation. Receive glory and honor. All adoration and power belongs to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 I forgot to bring a corn seed. I forgot to bring just a seed. So I have this mint here to use. It has coffee seed on it. In the wisdom of God, God understands after the fall of man that we are now human. And a veil is upon man spiritually. So God uses the natural that we can relate to explain clearly to us the spiritual. So that there will be no doubt. Once we understand the natural, the spiritual is more. And then we can run with what God is saying. And that has been a pattern through the Bible that has helped me a lot. So, I just read to you, Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, the Son of God, at the end of his ministry in the flesh, gave a promise that is on God's heart, his Father's heart. And he gave this promise, and then before he left, he appeared again to so many of them, and they saw him with their physical eyes, leaving, taking up, like people saw Elijah leave. But before he left, he reminded them of this promise and told them the condition for the promise is to wait until it happens. My brothers and sisters, people saw something the world has never seen. This Messiah. And he told them, I'm leaving you a promise from the Father. And now, after that 40th day, says now, I'm telling you, wait for that promise because something is going to happen to you. Power will come from heaven.
Yes.
For you to be able to become witnesses of the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God, Paul says, is not in the wisdom of man. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So after he said that, you would have thought the whole Jerusalem is just going to go find a place and just wait there and never leave. How could you hear and see such things? And you know, when you hear and see such things, you don't keep it to yourself. If it was today, it will go viral. Everybody heard about it because the few that heard about it was not talking about it. So everybody knew a promise has been given. The Messiah appeared, is now living, resurrection. At least 500 people experience it themselves. And now he says, go wait. Like you all know, if you read further, it was only 120 eventually that experienced the beginning of the promise. In the whole Jerusalem, the Messiah they were waiting for. The one now that came from heaven says, this is my promise from my Father for you. 120 in a nation that God gave stewardship of covenant. You must ask, oh, how can that be? Why would that be? I can't believe that will happen. It is happening today. So, the message I want to share with you, God put in my heart, is the message of hope for promise. Because God understands we are but flesh. So, in the book of Habakkuk, God gave a principle for what Jesus just said. Every promise is like a vision. Everybody says a vision. When you're given a promise, it's like God has given you a vision. You've received a vision. And he says, though the vision tarries, he says what? Wait for it. For it will not tarry. He says, at the appointed time, it will what? Speak. Wait for it. And Jesus said, wait until. So, why is it such a mystery? Why is it that every generation always falls short of this understanding? So, let's use the physical first to explain this. Amen?
Amen.
Let's take that this is a conceit. Huh? Mm-hmm. This is a physical conceit. And at the beginning of this season, God started talking to us about Psalms 126. He says, those that sow in tears, they will what? Reap in joy. Sow in tears, reap in joy. Why would they sow in tears? What does it mean to sow in tears and reap in joy? That's a prophetic principle of a farmer in understanding visions and the promises of God. Hebrews chapter 6 says, every promise of God is manifested through faith and patience. Every promise. So, let's begin with the physical side. Here is a corn of wheat. A corn seed. This corn, physically, from a farmer's vision, a farmer's perceptive in the physical, this single corn is a seed. Amen?
Amen.
This seed is a vision. Amen?
Amen.
It's a vision. And the farmer can see the vision. And the farmer looks at this seed and he knows this seed carries a vision. So the farmer says, I'm going to take this seed and I'm going to make it into a corn, big corn on the cob, big, produce a lot of corn. So what he does is, if this vision stays here, nothing happens. The waiting Jesus is talking about is not just sitting and doing nothing. The waiting is a spiritual process that releases progressively the manifestation of that promise. Not just sitting and doing nothing. If this is easier, it's waiting, nothing happens. There's something that the farmer has to do for this vision to become a reality. Amen? First, the farmer will find a good soil. Everybody say good soil.
Good soil.
A good soil is the only soil that has the ability to remove the surface to kill the outward of that ground. Any church, any Christian life that self doesn't learn this, the crucifixion of self, you remember this. So the farmer takes a soil, and the farmer takes this. Puts it in the ground. Because it's a vision. It's a future. It's a dream. Puts it in the ground. And not just leave it lying. All the other corn lying is meant to say. Puts it in the ground. And soils and clears the ground and put it there. And what rain will come? The sun. Why? The water and the sun. Because everything that goes into the ground that is supposed to bear fruit has to be through the light of the sun. Has to respond to light. Has to respond to water. Amen?
Amen.
So it's, unless a corn of wheat goes into the ground and dies. Everybody say die.
Die.
What does it mean for it to die? First of all, if you leave it there, stay the same. But what happens is, when the corn dies, it means that this has to give way. So that what is hidden on the inside will come alive. That outer corn, that flesh man, has to be crucified.
Amen.
So that thing here that prevents the corn to protect it while it's here preserving. First of all, when it goes into the ground, this thing has to die. This thing has to be shielded. So when this is done, then this begins to respond to the sun. From the sun. Begins to respond to water. And begins That soil has done its work. Now, this begins to take root. And then it begins to... It's a mystery. How does the seed and the plant know to come up? Because the fruit responds to sun. If the root responds to the ground, why not the opposite? It's the way God designed us. Amen?
Amen.
So, as the root inside shoots down, the real thing now begins to shoot up. But the farmer, everybody say, understands seasons. He knows that the season of sowing takes a process, and then he understands that first the blades will come up, then the vines will shoot up, then the blades will come up, and several things will come up along the way. Amen?
Amen.
Finally, another season will come after much water and rain. Another season will come. This time, the corn will start producing that corn from the that leaves there. And all of a sudden, it now start getting to ripe and produces brown stuff like this. They know when it's ripe. Amen?
Amen.
And that corn is there. And then later the corn comes to the season of harvest. Everybody say harvest.
Harvest.
Harvest time is still what? Work. But this time it's not just work. It's joyful work. It is time now to enjoy your labor. To receive your reward. But there's still work. So, using the corn, my brothers and sisters. This covers the corn, but inside this corn is a whole tree. It's a whole corn on a whole tree. That is a vision. That is a promise. So when God gives promise, and God says, I'm going to bless you with corn. With corn field. Amen?
Amen?
God is first saying, all that God first told you about, I'm going to bless you with corn field. All God did was, he gave you a promise. And that promise is called seed. So many times, many people never see that promise because of what I want to share with you. So using the physical, it makes sense to all of us. It makes sense to the Father. But the spiritual doesn't make sense to man because it's spiritual. It has to be understood by faith because it is spiritual.
Yeah.
The natural man understands this, and the Bible says about it a lot, but the natural man does not understand the spiritual promise except by faith. So let me share with you why the mercy of God is extended to us. I want to talk about two people in the Bible. God gave them a promise. Amen?
Amen.
God gave them a promise. Number one was Abraham. Amen?
Amen.
God gave Abraham a promise. I will make you father of nations. It's a promise, isn't it? It was a seed that was sown into Abraham. But that seed was a promise. Everybody say promise.
Promise.
So from what I told you now, what would the natural man think? As soon as he received that promise, the natural man, of course, naturally just says, praise the Lord. Sarah is going to start having babies. Amen?
Amen.
That's just natural. But strangely, all of a sudden, Sarah became barren. Barren means she started passing the age of giving birth. And then continue that way. Amen?
Amen.
Until the Bible says her womb was what? Dead. Everybody say, dead.
Dead.
With the natural mind, it is what?
Over.
With the natural mind has come to his ability to think. Amen? It's over. But with the spirit, until something dies, the spirit doesn't come. So, when Sarah's womb died, amen? I want you to see how we think as humans. Because this promise I'm speaking to you is about the season we are in. So that your faith will be strong. Abraham is the example God gave to us. He knew God. So what happened? Abraham saw that Sarah's womb was dead. So, this promise is not going to happen again. He believed God, but in his mind, it's over. So, Abraham and Sarah were discussing about this. Sarah, your womb is dead. I don't know any human being that gives birth to a dead womb. You are going into your 80s now, and, you know, you're getting old. Amen?
Amen?
So, obviously, we heard from God. Everybody say, we heard from God.
We heard from God.
We won't give up what we heard from God, but maybe there is something we are missing. Maybe God intended for us to do something to help the pastors. Amen?
Amen.
So, as humans, we do what makes sense for God to move. Amen?
Amen.
So they say, you know what? You have that your young maiden. Let's make a covenant with her to submit to you and cover you and then let her bring forth the baby. Isn't that just easy to make it happen, isn't it? Amen? So they did that and it happened. Praise the Lord, Ishmael came forth. Isn't it? We are humans. And we can do some very deadly human mistakes.
Jesus.
Till today, that seed has become a toast to every generation. Did God give Abraham a promise?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
What made Abraham miss that process? Because we're still thinking like men. Amen? But not just thinking like men. Let me tell you, because I'm speaking to us. I am speaking to myself too. There is something about waiting that kills you.
Jesus.
There's something about waiting that mocks you. There's something about waiting that shames you. There's something about waiting that makes it look like you don't have from God. There's something about waiting that humiliates you. There's something about waiting that brings reproach. There's something about waiting that makes people doubt you. And every one of those things puts you on a defensive stage. And you start looking for an escape.
Jesus.
And if you persevere in your way to escape, you will always end up with an issue. God allowed that to teach our generations lessons. Now, let's go further. So, now Ishmael was born. About the time Ishmael was about 13 years, of course, Abraham accepted this would be. But God visited Abraham again. Genesis 17. God visited Abraham. And God told Abraham, I am the Almighty God. There is nothing difficult for me. Says Abraham, now I want to make a covenant with you, a new covenant of circumcision, because the season has come. And I want you to know that Sarah is the womb of promise. Sarah is going to bring forth that child. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You will see where God is going to end. Before this time, Isaiah has not been born. But later down the road, Isaiah prophesied to generations to come that will learn from Abraham that when you hear God says, bring you to this point, then it's time for you to sing, O barren. But you don't have anybody to share that wisdom. So my brothers and sisters, as soon as God told Abraham that, go read it in Genesis 17, Abraham started laughing. Amen? Laughed and laughed and laughed. It's like God was amusing him. Amen? He laughed. What was he laughing for? And then he told God, God, are you talking about Sarah? She's 80 something years old. I am 99 years old. Sarah is 89 years old. Is it going to come to Sarah? He laughed. My brothers and sisters, when things die, when things become impossible, after you've waited and waited and waited and waited, and you don't see any sign, something inside of you laughs when God tells you there's still hope. Because you have experienced, you have suffered, you have endured, you have been faithful, you have been diligent. God is like, anything you want, I've done it. And my wife's womb is dead. Now, I have Ishmael. And you're telling me, my wife will give birth? So it's like, then Abraham said, what I'm telling you, I'm reading the whole scripture, true story to you. God, as Abraham was laughing, I'm telling him this. Abraham said to God, please let Ishmael be the promise.
Jesus.
Do you know what that means? I'm tired. God, don't worry about, I'm okay. Let me just take the substitute. Let me just settle with it. Forget about it. This is okay for me as human. I'm just tired. And God says, no, Abraham. The seed of the born woman cannot inherit the promise. And it says, Sarah's name needs to be changed. She's going to give birth to the son. The mercy of God is amazing.
Yeah.
After that experience with Abraham, of course, the next chapter is Genesis 18. Every time God wants to do a new thing, especially when hope has been dashed, expectations lost, and everything looks impossible, God always makes a way to speak in such undeniable way. So God sends angels. Amen?
Amen.
Send angels to visit Abraham, and the Lord was with them. Amen?
Amen.
And when they came to Abraham's tent. Everybody say Abraham's tent.
Abraham's tent.
They are in Manzano's tent now.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
They came to Abraham's tent. And when they came, they knew we are humans. And Abraham needed, and Sarah needed such signs to encourage them to believe. So they said, Abraham, by the way, Abraham has spiritual senses. He knew angels to pass by. He knew they were visiting. If you're not sensitive in this season, you will not know where with angels. They are here. By the time I finish this message, you will understand. You will see me as a spirit, you will see in the physical. So, The angels came and announced to Abraham, Sarah's time and appointed season, cycle of time has come to give birth. And Sarah was behind him, tail behind Abraham, and he heard them say, "You are going to give birth." Sarah did exactly what Abraham did when God told him first. Sarah laughed. Amen? People might be laughing at us because we think it to be impossible. There are people that are going to laugh and say, "Ah, this is." God doesn't want to fill it with religious people. God, people will laugh at Noah. The things of God makes it, it's a visible part of the natural man. Anytime they want to celebrate and laugh and follow the ground, they'll go look at Noah. Ha, 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 look at this man. He's crazy. He's building this big thing on nowhere. And look at what he's doing. They will laugh because he's crazy. It's really crazy to the mind. That's why Abraham laughed. God is dead. Sarah laughs. It's, and the angel said, "Why is Sarah laughing?" Sarah said, "I was not laughing. I was smiling." God shows mercy to us.
Hallelujah! Thank
He knows that we are flesh. Amen?
Amen.
He said, "Okay, Sarah. At this time, you will have that baby because the hour has come." That's why Isaac was called laughter. The promise came to pass.
Amen.
Because God spoke it. And whatever God spoke, He says He shall not return void. It was being for us.
Amen.
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 Now, before we go to the next one, do you understand what Abraham went through? The next one did not receive the promise like most people, but he read the promise. Like most of us will believe God for something when we read it. So sometimes when we have not heard clear from the Lord, but we've read the word of God and claimed the promise of God, because an angel or the voice of God is speaking, but the word of God is forever settled.
Yes.
We believe that God spoke it to us. We stand upon it. But along the way, something starts changing. This next person is one of the most faithful person in prayer. He was actually called into the ministry of prayer. His name is Zachariah. Prayed, served in the prayer. And from a young marriage, believing God for the promise of a child. Which is natural. Natural, easy for him to have. But for some reason, they keep coming until the wife's womb expired. Amen?
Amen.
Age passed the time of giving birth. My brothers and sisters, anything about destiny, when it's time for God to bring it forth, the flesh must die. The strength of men must be crucified. But he didn't have understanding why and what was happening. He's prayed, he's trusted God, he's waited. But like Abraham, he manifested his frustration and the pain of time. God understands we're humans. He knew what it is to wait and wait and wait until what they're waiting for has no more hope. I don't know if you've been there. It's very shameful for you to be praying every day and people come and they say, "What's wrong with Zachariah? He's praying for us. He's doing this. Can God not answer his prayers? What's wrong with Zachariah? This is the one that comes out and takes their incense and in charge. It's God. What is?" Some will be laughing, some will be mocking, some will be. Why others are having children? But unknown to Zechariah, he was preparing the way for something from heaven to come through. Anything that comes from heaven cannot come through the strength of man. It must come through dead people. Or else man will say, it is me. So, now that there is no hope for them to give birth, Zechariah didn't know the reason why Elizabeth's womb was sown until he died. He didn't know that while he was praying, the reason for sown is because they were going to reap a divine harvest. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah 54, not every barrenness is normal. Some barrenness is to crucify something in the physical so that that which is spiritual can come forth. Amen?
Yes.
The thing, oh barren, because the children of the barren will exceed that of the barren. And prophesy, enlarge your tent, strengthen your stake. He's telling them to do something crazy. Your womb is dead and you're saying you're going to be father of nations. Your womb is dead and you're still... So God showed mercy to us. Amen? And the mercy was that the angel came to Zechariah. The angel did not come where everybody was there. The angel came in a way that Zechariah would have no doubt. And he said, this is a God from heaven. He came down to us. Right inside the sanctuary, where nobody can go but Zechariah, and the angel appeared. So you all know it's a messenger from heaven. Amen?
Amen.
It's a supernatural visitation. But my brothers and sisters, I am not. And I was in Zechariah's shoes. So I don't understand what Zechariah felt. The angel said, Zechariah, your hour has come. This is that moment. Your Elizabeth is going to bring forth fruit. Amen?
Amen.
Zechariah was still thinking in the flesh while he was experiencing in the spirit. And Zechariah says, if you paraphrase, go study that word, what made the angel angry. Zechariah basically says, it's not going to happen. That's what that is. How do I know? And the angel said, I'm Gabriel. For an angel to reintroduce himself, you know who I am? I am Gabriel. I'm the star. I came from the presence of God. And you're saying, can this happen? Your mouth can't speak again. That mouth that uttered that thing is shut now. You will only speak after you see it. Or else you will speak more destruction. Amen?
Amen.
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 So Zechariah's mouth was stopped until the day John the Baptist was to be named. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Amen!
Amen.
Why did Zechariah get that way? Zechariah is like every one of us. He has prayed and prayed. He has received prophecies. He has received dreams. He has been spoken to. He has gone to meetings. He has been laid hands on. He has gone through everything. And everything remains dead. Actually was. He felt it. He sees it. He knows it. It's over. So that he has given up. The Bible says hope defers, makes the heart work. So that was Abraham, Zechariah. These are people that were recipients, stewards of the promises of God. Amen?
Amen.
For God showed mercy.
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, God will show us mercy.
Amen.
Now, having sent us to their several. Why is the Lord bringing this to us today? You know, the Paul says the things that were written in the Bible were written for our example so that we can learn to make a difference. Do things differently. Amen?
Amen.
So that we cannot repeat the same thing. We can be encouraged and be able to do things differently. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there are two situations that I want to mention to you that did things differently when they heard from the Lord. The number one is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Son of God is my choice in the flesh, you know, it only does what it sees the Father do. So, in John chapter 6, we will not go there. If you can take time to read it, so that I can cover the things that God wants us to do. John chapter 6, the Bible says as Jesus was ministering, there was a multitude of crowd following him. Amen?
Amen.
Crowds following him. And then it was getting to be evening time. So Jesus, the Bible says, he already knew what he was going to work to. You can read it. Meaning God already knew what he would do. But he says he wanted to test the disciples. God already knows what he will do with this tent. This tabernacle is already settled. God already knew what he planned to do with the disciples. But he didn't tell them the days. He just said, go and wait. If he told them the days, how many of you know what men do? They will come on that day. And if he tells them exactly the time, they will not just come on that day, they will come on exactly that time. God is, he knows the flesh. Amen? So, the Bible says God already knew what he was going to do, but he wanted to test his disciples. So he asked them, let's feed these people. Let's not let them go hungry. At this time, they did not know about the people, but you all know there were about 5,000 men. 5,000 men. And you know women and children are always more. Amen?
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 If we do statistics now, it's never changed. Count how many men here.
That is
the truth. You see that women are always more. Especially with Israel. Amen?
Amen?
So, they were there. And he said, we're going to feed all these people. And the disciples said, what? What? We just have 200 pairs. Maybe we just have $100 in our boss left. Even if we buy food with it, it will not. How is it going to feed all these people? The Bible says God already knew what he planned. Amen?
Amen.
So God said, bring something. And they went and found a little boy, Jesse. They found someone like Jesse that just brought his lunch with him. Amen?
Amen.
So it's always good to have children in the church.
Amen.
Give them lunch when you're going somewhere. Yeah? They might be the key to feed everybody.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
By the way, a few days ago, Jesse received a word from my sister and wrote it and gave it to my sister. Word from the Lord. Jesus says, get every one of them to sit down. And they brought 5 loaves and, well, I was here.
Two. Two fishes.
5 loaves. Enough for sandwich. Amen?
Amen.
And God already knew what he would do. And God took that and fed 5,000 men outside of women and children. And there was what?
Leftover.
There was what?
Leftover.
But God let us see how we think as humans. We go by the natural, we look in the natural, we make decisions by the natural, and while the spiritual is there, Jesus is there, God is there, and we're still trying to think in the natural in his presence. The other one is this. By the way, you know how Jesus multiplied it through worship. Amen?
Amen.
He thanked God before the miracle, before they saw the miracle. That's actually the message tonight. When you believe your promise, you thank God before you see it. That's when you know you believe. And keep thanking. So the next one that did the right thing was Elijah. Amen? Several did it, but I just wanted to use this too. Elijah, God told him in Genesis 18, verse 1, that Israel was going to see rain after 3.5 years of drought and damage and desolation for lack of rain. It was bad. It was famine. It was horrible. It was terrible. To the point they wanted to kill Elijah, he has to hide. And God now said to Elijah, I am going to send rain. Everybody say promise.
Promise.
God gave a promise to Elijah. I am going to send rain. Go show yourself to him. Elijah received the promise. And you want to know this? He went through a process that they went through. With the fire and the altar and all the repentance and everything. Then, from verse 45 upwards, Elijah went up to the mountain. And there in the mountain, Elijah started praying for rain. Amen?
Amen.
The reason why Elijah tarried, like Jesus said, the reason why the disciples tarried is because they have heard from the Lord. That was the season of harvest. It was a season of reaping. Amen?
Amen?
So Elijah tarried and tarried and tarried until the cloud came. And from the cloud, the rain came. But there's a key to that. And that's the summation of this message. The key was, after Elijah heard from the Lord, went through all the repentance and things, there was no rain. There was no rain. So anybody else would have said, God, you said you would send rain. Do I need to pray for it? Do I need to do something for it? You said you would send rain. But right there in verse 44, 45, something happened. The Bible says, Elijah said, I hear the sound of the abundance of what?
Rain.
Where did he hear it? How did he hear it? That was what fueled Elijah to go to. He said, go to the Rahab, go and eat. You can go. And then that led him to now go into the Lord and enter it. He had it in his spirit. He had it in his spirit. There was a sound of rain. And he caught it in his spirit. And he knew it's going to come to the Jesus. My brothers and sisters, when harvest comes, what you have planted will begin to show up. And then the verse is cooked. And right. And all you need to do is put the verse is cooked. In the spirit, Elijah had rain. He believed it. And then when the servant, he keep praying, he keep worshiping, we're waiting every day at the tent, he keep worshiping, he keep praying, God will help me something, God. The servant will come and say, nothing, nothing. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you the truth. If the rain didn't come at the seventh time, Elijah will still continue. Why? He has seen it in the spirit. He has heard it in the spirit. Elijah told Elisha, if you see it, you will receive it. If you see me leave, you will receive the mantle. Because what you see is what you believe. What you hear is what you believe. Physically. You don't see it, it's hard to believe. You don't hear it, physically, isn't it? So the same thing in the spirit. Jesus only does what he sees the Father is doing. He only speaks prophetic what he hears in the spirit. Why is he here in the spirit? Because that's what God is doing at that moment. See that tent. We hide it in the spirit. And then God says, bring it to the physical. We have obeyed and put it in the physical. What is the best thing? And then God now revealed and I saw it in the spirit. We hear prophecies. We think these prophecies are just somebody speaking. Sometimes they are speaking what they are seeing. They are speaking what they are hearing. Well, like Zechariah, like Abraham, we have gotten used to hearing and hearing and hearing and not seeing. And many of us, our hearts are, our ears are closed. Our hearts are shut. So when we're hearing God speak and speak, we just say, just like Zechariah and Abraham. We don't know that something in us has quit believing, expecting, but we're still seeking, we're still moving, we're still settling. So I am in that same situation like you are. So like Abraham, like Zechariah, God will use his angels. God will use different things. But this time God used a vision. Undeniable vision. And showed me something amazing. What will happen in that tent. I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried. And because of what he showed to me, it just hit me exactly like it hit Jacob. The angels, God is in this place, and then I knew it not. Why? Because we define the presence of God by the multitudes of people. Shame on us. If people, that tent is not filled with flesh and blood, means God is not there yet. You don't build a tent for men, you build it for God.
Amen.
You don't build a tent for men, you build it for God. And then you will come and wash. That tent is not for men. God says it's for him. It's his tabernacle. And he just says, just rest. Why is it that, you see, God has been training our worship team, all of us. Give your best to God, even if it's one or two people there.
Amen.
For some reason, we just feel we'll give our best to God when there's so many people there. That means we are leaning to men and not to God. That's why God trains you in secret to to pray, in secret to worship, in secret to give, so that you don't do it as unto men, but unto God. If you don't practice it, it's very easy to live that way. Everything you do, you will not know it that you're doing it to please men, because you've not learned to do it personally from your heart, secretly. We come to that date. We're looking around, and God says, I'm here. If you lift me up, God uses remnants. The remnants, Jerusalem, take those remnants. Remnant, Gideon, forget about the 32, take those 300. I'm looking for hearts that are focused on me. What Gideon showed to me, have you tempted to say to your God, I'm just going to keep it so that I don't come the last minute? But the reason I cried is because we're about to see what we've been waiting for. For a long time. For a long time. I've learned from Abraham. I've learned from Sarah. It's okay to laugh when you hear the big things. Because we're human. But after they saw that Isaac, they don't laugh at God anymore. When you see what you're about to see, when it starts happening, you will never again laugh at the impossible. Because all things are possible.
Amen.
That's the God we believe in. That's the God we serve. That's the God we're trusting. He will not bring us to reproach. It says, enlarge the tents. Make the stakes strong. You might look barren, but they will come from heaven. Not by the strength of man, but my presence. And without. So, in concluding, say, those that sow in tears will reap in joy. I said, Lord, I want to learn from the past. I want to learn from what has happened in the past. He says, okay. Just obey Isaiah 45:54. Sing when you're bowing. Rejoice while you're still bowing. Celebrate. Be like Jesus. Lift up that little loaf, that little fish, and celebrate like 5,000 men has been fed. Like Elijah, you've heard the sound of rain. Then begin to press in and begin to celebrate, begin to push into it. So my brothers and sisters, that's why God says, go to the tent with worship. So that like Joseph had, you are already honoring me before you say it. And here to this day, I have been celebrating. For some reason, joy has filled my heart.
Hallelujah.
After God has been, and that's the joy of harvest. I don't have to wait to see it. I've seen it in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So this morning, we want to start celebration. For the next few minutes, before we conclude with this short announcement, let's just take a few minutes. If this is what we want to start with, if we don't see our day, we will miss those who pay the price, pay the price. But if you know that you are going to be affected for life, your children, your grandchildren, nothing will stop you.
Yeah.
There's no sacrifice too great.
Yeah.
It's just that you don't know what you're about to experience.
Jesus.
So we want to celebrate and thank God ahead of time for what He has already purposed to do. God already knew what He would do. So I don't want to be like the disciples. I only have two people. I only have these $200. No, I want to celebrate 5,000 of His name. I want to celebrate the miracle of rain before it comes. I want to celebrate God causing the impossible to become possible. Because this is His name. Amen.
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 Let's celebrate worship team with a few. I'm going to die because I have sins. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Look forward to just take one day at a time and we'll keep celebrating. Amen. Amen. Let's celebrate. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you believe that God has spoken and twice we have heard it, why don't you rise up to your feet as we dance to the Lord? Hallelujah! Come on, just clap your hands this morning. Just your hands this morning. Hallelujah! I'm
He will never fail. Hallelujah.